Who has the secondhand sweeps past 12 at 5 p.m.? Time for American Hit Radio on 90.3 WHPC. How you doing today? It's beautiful out.
It's 5:01.
Kind of lovely. Okay, then the secondhand was sweeping past 12 at 5:01.
Just kidding.
Ah, that's my lovely wife and co-host Heidi Morales Ryan. I'm your host Tom Ryan, and we're going to be with you for the next hour. On Wednesdays, we go deep with albums. We've been doing this for a while. The idea was, you know, we started out as a show that was covering top 40 singles, and we did that for a very long time. And I was trying to think of a way to basically branch out and come up with a theme that would more or less carry us for a while. And the what happened, you see, because the original American Hit Radio was a book that I had written about, well, it's about 20 years ago now.
More than that.
94, oh my God, more than 25 years ago now. And it was a book about hit singles. And long story short, it was that book that eventually had me landing here at WHPC with a show. And at first, the show was more or less based around that book, the 500 singles that were in the book. But that wasn't going to last if I was going to be here for more than 4 or 5 years. And it now has turned out to be the case that I have been here for a lot longer than that. And different ideas were coming up. We had different people actually doing the show with me at various times. A lot of live performers. But it occurred to me at one point that I could maybe do something revolving around albums rather than singles, which is really where my taste profile was anyway. So we made a list of alternative albums that I figured, you know, not everybody listens to albums that didn't make the top 40 that have been forgotten. It would be kind of fun to basically find the greater ones and talk about them. So we made that list, and it was 500 albums long. And I started writing about them. But then it occurred to me that I really need to fatten it out with 500 more albums that did make the top 40. And then with 1,000 albums, that gives me 1,000 shows to do. One show per album. Actually, sometimes it's more than one show per album, because if it's a double album, it takes 2 shows to cover it. So there we have, like, basically 20 years worth of programming. And we've been doing this for a while now, so we're pretty far into it. In fact, we are up to June of 1973, having started in January of 1964. And this today's album is number 216 out of 500 from the top 500 of the top 40, from the top 40 list. It happens to be the sixth studio album, by Sly and the Family Stone.
Woohoo!
The album is called Fresh. Now,
just like you.
Oh, yeah. Just, ain't I fresh? Two ways for that. But to my mind, Fresh marks the end of an era. Although many might disagree with me and point to this album's predecessor, which we covered maybe about a year and a half ago, the album There's a Riot Going On. And if they mark that as the end of an era, I will admit they have a point, if that's the way most people think. But only insofar as that album felt like Sly was burning bridges, giving up on his pop star stint.
Everybody was doing that, right? I mean,
well, no. I mean, a lot of people were getting...
Jim Morrison was.
Well, I don't know. The last album that the Doors did with Jim Morrison was really popular. L.A. Woman was a very, you know, bought a big hits on the album.
And then he wanted to become a poet.
Right. It didn't work out that way. But, but to your point, I mean, you know, Sly was definitely more or less dealing with an endgame situation with There's a Riot Going On. So
what was it?
It felt like he was burning bridges.
Okay.
You know? But when in fact, what he was really doing was realigning himself. He was having all sorts of personal issues with
drugs,
issues with Black Panthers who were trying to control his career, tell him what to do. And
that's weird.
That was all making his life very difficult and made him a bit of a. He just pulled away from people in general. But if you're burning bridges, you don't come back with a lovely album that eviscerates preconceptions, which is exactly how I see, or how I hear, this album Fresh. At this point, The Family Stone is surprisingly still more or less intact. And it's cool to hear the intermingled vocals revived once again after There's a Rad Going On just made it sound as though it was like Sly locked in his bedroom playing with knobs and twisting sounds and overdubs and coming up with like and making things like really like layer upon layer upon layer. He did it with this album too, by the way, but not to such an extent and not totally alone as he did the last album. Because like I said, you hear his bandmates singing on this album. You also hear like the instrumental input of Cynthia Robinson and Jerry Martini, the horn section, which is great. If You Want Me to Stay, which is the second song that we'll be playing, was the band's final hit single, which is also why I view Fresh as the last of Sly's classic albums, and therefore the end of an era. So this will wrap up, if you can concisely say, you know, put Sly and the Family Stone's pop career in a box, this would be album number 6 in that box.
Okay.
So let's get started. The album, as I said, is called Fresh. It was released in June of 1973, which is what we're up to. It crept into the top 10. It was a big hit and made it to number 7. And the opening song was one of the most influential songs on the album. In fact, check this out. Miles Davis loved this song so much that he forced his band to get together and he played it for them for a solid half an hour. He played the song 6 times in a row.
Did he play it or did he play the record?
He may have played the record. He played Sly and the Family Stone track repeatedly for over a half an hour, basically trying to get the band to get into like the vibe that he had and that feel, like saying, why can't we do this? This is when Miles was definitely shooting to be as much of a rock star as a jazz star. But in some ways, you know, Miles was always Miles, especially in the 70s. He was a bit far out. But this more or less proves that Sly and the Family Stone is one of his major inspirations. And when you listen to the song, maybe you'll get why. It's called In Time.
Thank you. researcher. You might.
I don't know if you know this album or not. I'm very curious what you think as you hear it, as if you're hearing it for the first time, because I think everybody's familiar with the obvious hits, you know, Family Affair and Thank You for Letting Me Be Myself and the other big Sly Stone and the Family Stone hits. But that song outfunks almost all of them for me. Like, when I think about what, if I was going to name the funkiest hit that the band did, I'd probably say Thank You, you know, for Letting Me Be Myself. But that song, In Time, is so syncopated. It's all over the place. I'm not at all surprised that Miles Davis was blown away by it because of the way that the rhythm moves. It's got a real cool emphasis on the bass. In fact, I can get into that a little bit later, but I mean, yeah, just hearing like the way that the rhythm section drives that song is brilliant. Now, the next song up is the only hit single from the album. And it, as I mentioned at the beginning, it was the band's last top 20 hit, which is why I say this is really the end of that pop era. The song was written by Sly after he got into some sort of an argument with his wife. And he wrote it intending it to be something of an apology, but it also sounds to me like it's something of like, I might be wrong, but in meanwhile, if you want me to stay, you got to let me be who I am. Don't try to play with what I'm about. And that's the whole gist of the song's lyrics, basically, is, you know, him coming to terms with what the argument was about. And it ends up being a top 20 hit and a good one, if I may say so. It's called, as I already told you, If You Want Me to Stay. Yeah.
you want me to stay, I'll be around today to be available for you to see. I'm about to go, and then you'll know for me to stay, I got to be me. You'll never be in doubt, that's what it's all about. You can't take me for granted and smile. Calvin, please, I'm gone, forget reaching my phone, because I promise I'll be gone for a while. When you see me again, I hope that you have been the kind of person that you really are now. We got to get in straight, how could I ever be late, when you're my woman taking up my time. Oh, how could you ever allow, I wonder how I would get out of pocket for fun. Shape me again, I hope that you haven't been the kind of person you really are now. I'll be so good, I wish I could get the message over to you now.
Cool, bit of a sleeper hit. Do you remember that as a hit single?
Oh, yeah.
You do?
Sure.
Oh, cool. I don't think a lot of people do, because it doesn't get the same coverage as most of his other bigger hits. But it's a great song. It's a great song. And unfortunately, like I said, it was his last single, setting Sly up for like a pretty strange career from this point out. He would become a little bit more and more removed from what the band was about, and even from his own audience. I mean, Sly was the type of guy that if you had a ticket to see his show, I hope you basically were willing to stay up very, very late, because he sometimes wouldn't even come onto the stage.
Yeah. He was always late to his own date.
Yeah, he might not come on for 2 hours after the scheduled start time, and sometimes people would be waiting, and then he wouldn't show up at all, which ended up not being a very good thing for his career at all. At this point in time, he's still holding it together. Critics were still loving him, and so were the fans. And the thing about it is that, you know, this album has just got a really cool feel about it. And like the last album, it's interesting, because these songs, once the album is committed to and it's released, the versions that were put down are the versions that everybody gets to know. But Sly's not like that. Sly would basically keep playing with the masters after the album came out. And he kept working on these songs, even though the album was out and they weren't going to change it. The album is the album. But he continued to work on the songs, even though they were done, something that very, very few artists do. And for that reason now, if you are into this album, if you like it, there's now versions of it that are released that have got all these different mixes that were done after the album by Sly, of him like basically maybe tweaking it. So if the reason I'm saying if you're into it is because if you like these versions, you probably hear Sly taking it even like a step further, and then even a step further than that, because he did it over and over and over again. It's rather incredible. Let's play a couple back to back from the side. But first up is a track called Let Me Have It All. And we'll segue that into Frisky on 90.3 WHPC.
feel? Don't you know I feel real?
It's so interesting for me to hear this because, like, Sly, it's such a cool album, but it's also, like, it's understated. You could never say that about things like I Want to Take You Higher, for example, or Hot Fun in the Summertime, you know? I mean, those are songs that are almost epics and very much in your face, you know, huge, huge hits and instantly memorable. And this album is more, it's a little bit more sinewy. It gets under your skin in a cool way. It's a cool summer album. It's a cool winter album too, I suppose. It's just that, you know, it's one of those things that more or less can sit in the background and make you feel really good because it's incredibly funky without being overwhelming. Got one more track that would be from side one. So we can finish off the first half with a track called Thankful and Thoughtful from the album Fresh.
Sunday morning, I forgot my prayer. I should have been happy, yeah, I'll still be there. Some could have gone
thankful
and taken me away. But the main man felt still should be here another day. And that's why I got to be
faithful.
Yeah, I gotta be my head. I've taken my chances. I could have been dead. I started climbing from the bottom.
Oh
yeah, all the way to the top. And before I knew it, I was up and down. You believe in nothing. Yeah.
Completion of what would have been side one on the vinyl album of the album Fresh by Sly and the Family Stone, their sixth album, and an album that we are playing in its entirety. Now, I've been focusing on the positive side of this because generally, first of all, that's what I like to do. And I don't want to get too deep into the what goes on in the background, but with Sly, it's kind of very hard to avoid it. The thing is, I think that I did it consciously for so long. I deliberately tried to avoid it because when you think of Sly Stone and the Family Stone, the band, and the thing that was the most impressive about it in the late 60s, like when they were the Woodstock era, was that it was interracial, it was mixed sex, it was really a great a cross-section of humanity. You know, like boys, girls, black people, white people, and everybody playing together. Everybody seemed to be getting along, singing these really these songs about positivity. Everything was great. But Sly was definitely getting weird pretty fast. And he had his own ideas about how he should run things. And he literally was like, you know, because he was also getting approached by different groups trying to tell him how he should run his business, Black Panthers in particular, he started hiring bodyguards to take care of him. But he actually, you know, his bodyguards were essentially, they were gangsters. They were mafia gangsters. And they were basically handling his business dealings while making sure that he got the drugs that he wanted and allegedly protecting him from, quote unquote, enemies, so to speak. So he isolated himself, even from the rest of the band, to the point where the original drummer decided that he couldn't take it anymore, and he ended up quitting and leaving the band. Erico? I forget his first name. Jerry Erico? Anyway, he was gone for a while, and the band more or less tried to continue, but things were getting worse and worse, and it got to the point where he eventually lost his entire rhythm section, actually. You will hear Larry Graham play bass guitar on two songs on this album, and we haven't heard them yet, but they'll be coming up on side two. But Larry Graham was another one who was basically getting lots of slack from Sly, and Sly's people heard a rumor that Larry Graham had hired somebody to kill Sly.
Oh, no.
So this did not go down well, and Sly's management, quote unquote, came after him, Larry Graham.
Mm-hmm.
And they literally, he and his wife were in a hotel room. They literally climbed out the window to escape and went down fire escapes and then had to jump into a car to leave, to get away from what could have been their death. You know, it was really scary. And he never went back. That was it. That was how he quit the band.
Wow.
By climbing out of a hotel window. He went off and he started Graham Central Station. And that was his band now, and Sly had to find a bunch of different bass players. At this point in time, the person who was replacing Larry Graham was, what was the bass player's name? I should know this. Rusty Allen was the name of of his replacement. But there's all this crazy stuff going on, and this is Sly trying to pull it back together, but there's this big, huge mess in the background that's going on with Sly. And also, like I said, he was also not even communicating with the band when he recorded Riot Going On. He pretty much stayed in his house and recorded the whole album by himself. He'd call people in on occasion if he wanted them to add some overdubs, but it wasn't a band effort. This is him trying to get back to that. So let's pick it up where we left off. Both of these songs more or less address what I'm talking about. The first track is called Skin I'm In, and we'll let that segue into I Don't Know Satisfaction.
Same. what's the use? Time must let my people lose. God, we're trying.
We need it.
Oh no. Much to learn, a place to turn, but when there's nothing else to burn, a refrain. Oh, I think I know. Nothing in the way, but another day, and we're gonna push it on out the way. God, we do it.
This is just so great because the album's showing so much promise. It's like Sly does not sound like a guy who is totally like in the throes of a cocaine addiction.
Right.
You know, the syncopation is incredible on these songs. The arrangements are on. The writing is excellent. And the mixes are great. He really was giving his audience the impression that he was hanging on and that he was going to pull this thing together, despite all of the drama, the stories that were like kind of leaking through the press, the ones that I said I was trying to ignore because they were basically messing with my vision of what Sly and the Thelmy Stone stood for. And yet it may have been reality, but this album seemed to defy that reality because they sound like a team. We'll play another pair of songs back to back. The first one is one of the shortest songs on the album. It's called Keep On Dancing, but that goes into a song that kind of like you really want to talk about being surprised. It's a version of a song that was made famous by Doris Day. You know, it's Sly and the Family Stone's version of Que Sera Sera, which, of course, is featuring, I think, is it Rose on vocal? Let me see. Let's see. Larry Graham. Blah, 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 blah. I'm not positive, but I think it was Rose Stone who sang lead on this one. But it's such a surprise to hear Sly and the Family Stone doing Que Sera Sera. So, you know, hold on to your hats. Here they are on 90.3 WHPC.
Jones.
All right, as that song is written out, we want to make sure I squeeze in the last two tracks that are left on the album. That's the only cover song that ever appeared on a Sly and the Family Stone album, by the way. The only one. The album ends on a note that's very much in line with the rest of the album. The songs are called If It Were Left Up to Me and Babies Making Babies, ending with a bit of a bang. So thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed this, and we will, of course, be back next Wednesday with a very special album that we'll be covering for a number of weeks, actually. So we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
If it were left up to me, it would take more than a notion. If it were left up to me, we could put ideas in motion. Had it been left up to you, would you try? Would you try?
choose paying dues. Whoa, whoa. Yeah, I tell your mama.